ஓம் நமோ பகவதி வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதி வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதி வாசுதேவாய. Today, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami disappearance day, so we will not read Bhagavatam. Okay, tomorrow, for tomorrow you can keep it. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he advented in Sri Puri Dham on 6th February 1874, the fifth day of the dark lunar fortnight in the month of Govinda of the Gaudiya Vaishnava calendar, at 3:30 PM. So that is in February, in Jagannath Puri he had appeared. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was posted as a magistrate in Jagannath Puri. Then he was preaching, and then one day Lord Jagannath appeared in the dream of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and implored him that, "I did not send you here to get entangled in legal matters," because at that time there was a lot of corruption was going on in Jagannath temple. So he was very much involved in trying to rectify things and all. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied to Lord Jagannath that, "I became very old. I am so much busy also in all these matters, so I am not capable of spreading the Gaur Katha alone. You send me one of your associates to spread this message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world." Then Lord Jagannath told him to worship Bimala Devi in Jagannath temple. Right? So accordingly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped Bimala Devi, requesting for a great son who will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So the birth of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, it is very significant that to taking birth in Puri, because it is mentioned in Padma Purana that Sri Brahma Rudra Sanaka Vaishnavaha Kshiti Pavana Chatvaraste Kalau Bhavya Hi Utkale Purushottamat. So the meaning of this verse is that in Kali Yuga, the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, which are purifiers of the earth, will appear in Purushottam Kshetra in Utkala, Orissa. So during his birth of his time of his birth, you know, there is a continuous kirtana was going on throughout, and then he was the fourth son. Total Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 13 children. Out of that, eight were sons. So now, but he was the fourth one. That is why his brothers used to call him Nada, because middle one. Then, because he took birth by the mercy of Bimala Devi, his name became Bimal Prasad. Bimal Prasad. So, but many people used to call him pet name Bimu and all that, like that. So when he was five days old boy, during the time of 5 months, no? 5 months. When he was 5 months old, Vimal Prasad was 5 months old at the time of Lord Jagannath's Rathyatra. So, Lord Jagannath Rathyatra, his father's house was situated along the parade route. Although the procession usually finishes in few hours, this time Lord Jagannath's cart stopped for 3 days outside the home of his dear devotee, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You know, for 3 days the chariot did not move. So, seeing this, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur indicated that bring that boy. So, they took the five months old boy, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, and kept him at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. So, with his left hand, he caught hold of the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And then, at that time, a garland from the neck of Sri Jagannath fell and circled around the neck of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, that small boy, Vimal Prasad. So when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw this, he understood that this is the son for whom he prayed for. Like that. Then later on, as an astrologer, was commissioned to study the kundali of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Then he concluded that he has never seen such a great personality's horoscope, because all the 32 lakshanas, characteristics of a great personality, are present in the body of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Right? The five large parts are the nose, arms, chin, eyes and knees. The five finer parts are the skin, fingertips, teeth, hair on the body and hair on the head. The seven red parts are the eyes, soles, palms, palate, nails and upper and lower lips. The six raised parts are the chest, shoulders, nail, nose, waist and mouth. The three small parts are the neck, thighs and male organ. The three broad parts are the waist, forehead and chest. The three grave parts are the navel, voice and existence. So, I have done many horoscopes in my life, but I have never been before seen one replete with all signs of an eminent personality. The child will become world famous as a teacher of the ultimate goal of life. So it was predicted. And the same prediction was given to Prabhupada also. When Prabhupada was a child, he said he will build a house in which the whole world can live. You know, by the age of 75 or something like that, he would build 108 temples all over the world. Right? So these are the great qualities of pure devotees of the Lord, you know, who are eternal associates of the Lord. I like that. Also, it was the illustrious line of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was made out, that actually Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta belong to originally Chitragupta, you know, Chitragupta's family, the Yamaraj's assistant. So they are actually belong to Brahmakayastha community, you know, Brahmakayastha community, like that. So and in their line, there were many pure devotees of the Lord appeared, and especially there is one person, one devotee, the seventh generation from Krishnananda saw the appearance of Madan Mohan, whose piety was so famed that it is recommended to remember him in the morning. He was so famous that everybody is recommended to remember his name, like that. And he was venerated by all the residents of Bengal, especially all respectable persons of Calcutta. He fostered the prestige of Varnashram Dharma by establishing temples and other such structures in Benares and similar holy places, by having bodies of water excavated in many locations. The generosity and prosperity of his eldest son, Rama Tanu, was in recent days spoken of in very home. Phone, eh? Proper lecture. So a great grandson of Madan Mohan was Anand Chandra Datta, who gave his third son, our Thakura, the name Kedarnath Datta. Kedarnath. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so lineage was written like this. So they belong to originally Chitragupta's family, like that. So when Bimal Prasad was 10 months old, his mother brought him by palanquin to Ranaghat in Nadia district, Bengal, where he spent his early years. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was 4 years old, at that time, his father brought, somebody brought mangoes. So that 4-year-old boy, he ate mangoes without offering to the Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastised him, saying that, you know, everything is meant for the Lord's service. How you ate like that? So he was a small boy, but since then he took a vow that never to eat mangoes. So throughout his life, he never ate mangoes. You know, like that. And then whenever somebody would offer him mangoes, he would say, "I am an offender at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. I can't eat mangoes." Like that is. So he never. So that is why we should not offer any mango offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. You know, he would never eat like that. Then, since his childhood, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur made it compulsory for him to chant. Even at the age of 4, he was chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra on a regular basis. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur initiated his mantra by worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. When they were building a Bhakti Bhavan, they found Kurma Shila, Kurma Avatar, Kurma Shila. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he wanted to worship Shaligram Shila. So right from the childhood. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur found this while excavating, so the Bhakti Bhavan. So he gave that Kurma Shila to worship, for worshipping to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. So since childhood, he was worshipping this Shila. Srimad Bhaktivilas Bharati Maharaj, a disciple of Sri Saraswati Thakur, has detailed the significance of Kurma Deva, the tortoise form of Vishnu. In Rasa Vichara, Kurma Deva is described as, in Alankar Shastra, as a deity of Adbhuta Rasa. The mellow of wonder that makes other rasas ever newly wonderful. This wonder is most wonderful in that line of Sri Gauranga, who is Krishna attempting to taste the wonder of himself, and even more wonderfully distributing the wonder of his most wonderful pastimes. So all, including the most fall. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami repeatedly used the word Achintya, Chamatkara and Chitra, all of which indicate inconceivability and wonder. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he also describes that when all rasas simultaneously appear in Sri Chaitanya Deva, he becomes overwhelmed and takes or is overtaken by the form of Kurma. So it's not an ordinary incident, you know. like that. The importance of Kurmadeva and Rasa Ravachara is also hinted at by his being invoked in the last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost Shastra, which brings all Vedic knowledge to the conclusion of Rasa. Thus, Vimal Prasad's worship of Kurma is not merely incidental, but of deep import. Like that. So, he was very scholarly right from the childhood. Once a reputed Babaji noticed that Bimal Prasad, he did not offer him obeisances to him. So when he complained to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that, "Oh, that boy, he will not offer obeisance to Sahajiyas." Like that, he told him. Another time, his spiritual master, Bipin Bihari Goswami, he came to meet Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur offered him obeisances. So Bipin Bihari Goswami kept his feet on the head of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So at that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was only 6-year-old boy. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he castigated Bipin Bihari Goswami. "Do you think that you are powerful enough to keep your feet on the head of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Do you know who is he? He is a manjari in the pastimes of Sri Radha Krishna. You know, how dare you keep your feet on the head of Srila Bhaktivinoda?" So Bipin Bihari Goswami, he was very angry. Said, "This boy is very impudent. Your son is very impudent." He told him like that. So at the age of 6, he by-hearted all the verses, 700 verses of Sri Bhagavad Gita, and he would explain them according to Vaishnava Siddhanta. Like that. And at the same time, he was going to the school and learning English and other subjects, and then he was very good in that also. So later on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur shifted to Calcutta, and then there then Bimal Prasad also, he joined in a Sanskrit college. So he was studying there Sanskrit and all that. So Mr. C. Little was a mathematics teacher assigned to teach physics to Bimala's class. He would read from the textbook 3 times, then say, "I think all of you can understand this." He kept a list of the first 3 students' names, and looking at the list, he would ask a question. One day, outside of class, he queried some students about the teachings of the Bible, knowing that most of them disliked having to learn it. But only Bimal was bold enough to pipe up, "In your scripture, prayer like 'Give us our daily bread' resemble the outlook of Vidha Shaktiyas in this country. The Supreme Lord is the object of devotion, not the servant of us who have turned from Him. Those who take His name, wanting to serve them, have no devotion in their hearts." He was, like that. In 1888, Bimal Prasad started translating from Sanskrit to Bengali, 2 classical astronomical treatises, Siddhanta Shiromani, which he completed and published in 1893. And in 1896, Suri Siddhanta, with its original Sanskrit verses and his own Bengali rendition. Recognizing his extraordinary proficiency and contribution in both the Eastern and Western systems of astrology and astronomical calculations, specifically for his initial unpublished work on Suri Siddhanta, his tutors Pandit Mahesh Chandra Chudamani and Pandit Sundarlal conferred upon him the title of Srila Siddhanta Saraswati when he was just 15 years old. So, he condemned, there is one Bapudeva Acharya or somebody, Sharma. He was a very big professor in Banaras Hindu University at that time, Sanskrit college. That time he was sort of an atheist, and he compromised on the Vedic version of astrological science. Then he combined, you know, he wrote some treatises, you know, combining with the Copernicus Western system of astronomy, which was opposed very vehemently by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sasi Thakur. So that is why he wrote this book, Surya Siddhanta. That's why he became very famous as Siddhanta Saraswati, like that. Even though he was very expert in astrology, but he never gave so much importance to following it so strictly, because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, would suggest something which is against horoscope or whatever, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would do it anyway, because Vaishnava's saying is more important than this Kundali and horoscope and all that, right? So, but he would follow certain things like, you know, not traveling on Thursday. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, throughout his life, he followed this. He would never travel on Thursday. If at all some reservation was done to travel on Thursdays, he would keep the shoes and the suitcase outside the house on Wednesday itself. Like that. So during the school holidays, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati studied the Vedas under Pandit Prithvishwara Sharma, who also tutored him in the grammatical work Siddhanta Kaumudi. Siddhanta Saraswati went through the entire grammar in 3 months, covering the section on Sandhi in 3 days. Pandit Sharma cautioned, "You should not finish the perusal of Sandhi so quickly. It took me a long time. In Benares, scholars go through Panini grammar during their whole life. Whoever continuously studies Panini attains liberation upon dying." You know, they actually, you ask Vishnu, they will, throughout their life, you know, they have to, Vyakaran, you know, Panini grammar, they have to study throughout their life. Then, if they don't recite those grammatic grammar, then they will forget. Sanskrit, every day they have to recite certain rules, you know, all those, Panini grammar, you know, rules and all that. If they don't, English grammar also, right? In our childhood, we used to have Ren and Martin, you know, English grammar. So, all the time you have to study. Otherwise, you will forget how to compose, you know, sentences and all that. So, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was just 15 year old. That time he said, "Then from today, I reject you. The goal of my life is neither mastery of grammar nor liberation, but worship of Hari and attaining His affection. I have studied the Vedas, the branches of the Vedas, and their connate parts only in a secondary manner." Pandit Panchanana Sahitacharya was elderly, the head of the astronomy department at the Sanskrit college, and reputed as the greatest astronomer in Bengal. But he was outspokenly atheistic, and Srila Siddhanta Saraswati regularly and fearlessly opposed him. When in 1892, Pandit Panchanana and others, including Mahesh Chandra Nyayaratna, the head of the college, and Sri Bapudeva Shastri, proposed revision of the astrological calendar, Sri Siddhanta Saraswati pointed out several mathematical and technical discrepancies in the arguments. One of his pupils published a tract showing conclusively the inaccuracies of the reformers, that the matter rested on the precession of the equinox, which in Vedic astronomy is made from a fixed point of zodiac. Much discomfort, much discomforted by the sudden rise of the youthful Siddhanta Saraswati, Pandit Panchanana became openly critical of him and his students. Tension simmered until eventually the college principal, Dr. Satish Chandra Vidyabhushana, conveyed and presided over a debate to resolve the issue. Thereafter, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati easily met the various challenges posed by Pandit Panchanana and moreover nonplussed him by posting further queries, which Srila Siddhanta Saraswati himself then answered. But when Srila Siddhanta Saraswati tangled directly with the college principal, he became obliged to quit college. It was in 1895, and although in that era such an act was practically unheard and deemed disgraceful, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati had another outlook. You know, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in college, Chirukumar Sabha, they formed a Chirukumar Sabha, saying that, you know, he formed an August assembly where some of his friends, he himself, they took a vow that they will never get married, they will remain brahmachari. You know, so Bhaktivikas Mahārāja writes, apparently, that it is obvious that he is the only one who remained brahmachari throughout his life. And all of his friends who have taken a vow, they eventually got married and all that. So he told one very nice thing. So when he was debarred from the college, you know, very nice. He said, considering that if I were to remain studying diligently at college, I would be browbeaten to enter family life. But if I were perceived as a foolish, good for nothing, then no one would put such an inducement upon me for becoming engaged in worldly advancement. I left the Sanskrit college, and to maintain my life for service to Hari, I sought an honest occupation with a modest income. You know, even Srila Prabhupada also did not accept the degree. You know, Scottish Church College he was studying, like that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also, they removed him from the college because he was running in and arguing with the principal and other people like that. So, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very happy that he debarred from the college because he said, if I had passed a degree, and then everybody would have given me a very good post and all that, then all the prospective brides, fathers and all, they would come to me to get married. So I'll be saved, you know, because who will marry? Who will give a girl to a person like me, like that? So then he was a special child to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was always giving special attention to him. Then he was training him in book printing, you know, how to handle the press, and then kirtan and everything. And then he would take him along with him all the time, wherever he would go and give lectures, you know, satsang. So he was, at the time he was assisting Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaiva Dharma, publishing the, you know, writing and editing and all that. So Jaiva Dharma. So he was regularly hearing the lectures, you know. So then he got employed in Calcutta with Tripura's king, you know. So because his another brother, he was already working there. So he was, he gave him the employment to him. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur served there till 1905, and then he left that job. So at the time he got the opportunity because he told him to write a lineage and all that. So he was he got a chance to read. So he was working in the library there. So he was then also a lot of corruption was there in that samsthan, in that offices and all. So he tried to rectify them. So after that, at one point of time, he became fed up with the disgusted with all these happenings. Then he said, "I will leave." So, but the king, you know, is very happy with his services. So he gave him full pension till Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Das Thakur. Till 1909 he accepted that, and then after that he stopped accepting that also. So like that. Then he was concentrating a lot on Jyotisha, like that. So so he was publishing Brihaspati in Bengal and Scientific India English and Almanac entitled Bhakti Bhavana Panjika. So he he was doing all these things. Then in 1901 Saraswati floated another Jyotisha monthly, Jyotirvid. So, and after that, once there is this Bapudev Sharma, he was very famous at that time. In Calcutta on January 2nd, they had an argument, with him. And then Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Das Thakur argued him so, vehemently, and then he defeated him, so badly. That Bapudeva, he was very advanced in age at that time. He became fearful and frightened by the scholarship of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he passed stool and urine publicly in his dhoti. Then after that, everybody was afraid to argue with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because he became very famous. Like that. Later on, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's astrological explorations never negated his pursuit of bhakti, which was always the main focus of his life. For any course of action that he was contemplating, he did not rely solely on astrology, but confidently accepted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's advice as superior, even if it contradicted his own astrological prognosis. Similarly, although he had demonstrated inconsistencies in P.N. Bakchi's Almanac, the Bengali household handbook for ritual activities, since Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted it, so also did Srila Siddhanta Saraswati. Later on, after this debate, he decided that he would not pursue the astrology anymore. So if he had pursued, he would have become the number one astrologer throughout India. Like that. So then in 1897, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Das Thakur started observing Chaturmasya. So during the, even though after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, many of the Vaishnavas, they stopped observing Sri Chaturmasya, thinking that it is some smart vidhi and all that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started Chaturmasya, and then he was performing very strictly. He would grow his hair, then he would wear only simple cloth, unstitched cloth, and then he would cook a little bit rice, then he would eat like a dog. Means on the floor the food will be there, and then without hands he would bend, he would sit on the floor and he would bend, and then he would eat like that from the floor, like that. He was not cutting his nails, he was not cutting his hair, then chanting continuously, during Chaturmasi Vrat. Then because of this, he became very thin, and he fell very sick. Then, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur reproved him, asserting that such self-denial was unnecessary. Srila Siddhanta Saraswati desisted from such rigorous practice of Chaturmasya. Like that. In October 1898, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta accompanied Bhaktivinoda Thakur to the holy places of Benares, Prayaga and all that. Then he collected much information. The later he appeared in Anubhashya commentary on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? He collected. Then during 1899, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati became the editor of and major contributor to the spiritual portion of Nivedana, also titled Signboard, a new English religious cum scholarly weekly started by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and published from Bhakti Bhavan. In 1900, he wrote and printed Bange Samjakta, a deeply researched booklet giving an overview of the provenance, whereabouts and the idea of varied social and spiritual groups in Bengal, outlining the plethora of religious doctrines then prevalent. Srila Siddhanta Saraswati briefly delineated their errors and established the superiority of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy of Achintya Bheda Tattva. So later on, even though he was initiated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur originally, then he told him, then Gaurakisha, in 1898, Gaurakisha Das Babaji Maharaj, he came from Vrindavan to Navadvip Mandal Parik, Navadvip Dham. So Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur implored his son to go and seek initiation from Shri Gaurakisha Das Babaji Maharaj. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he approached him for initiation, Srila Gaurakisha Das Babaji Maharaj told him that I don't give any initiation because I gave one initiation to one person, he cheated and ran away. Since then I will not give, I am not giving initiation to anybody. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur begged him, then he said, okay, I will ask Lord Gauranga and tell you. So after a few days, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta went and asked him, did you ask, what did Mahaprabhu say? No, I forgot, I didn't ask. Then again after a few days, again Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked, what did Mahaprabhu say? I don't know. I asked him, but he didn't reply. Like that he was. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he realized that he has committed some offense. Maybe he was overtaken by pride. So he got very great realization, saying that when out of false ego, I was thinking I am a great scholar of mathematics and philosophy. Let any big pandita come at any time, day or night, and I shall cut his propositions to pieces. At that time, I got the darshan of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudeva. He ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me. My truthfulness, my moral and pious life, and my intellectualism, knowing them to be of little value. When I saw that he ignored whatever was good in me, I realized how good he himself must be, who could neglect so many good qualities in me. What inconceivable wealth he possessed. Being neglected by him, I understood that there was no one more fallen and contemptible than myself. That was my actual identity. The very things that I judged desiderata, such as scholarship and upright character, this exalted soul regarded as valueless. I apprehended that within himself, this noble personality possessed priceless treasure. I then pondered that either he is extremely puffed up or is exceedingly merciful. I then haughtily said to my Gurudeva, you are a worshipper of that cheater and debauch, Krishna. So why would you be compassionate to someone like me, dedicated to ordinary morality? Humbly and sincerely, I pray to the Supreme Lord for His mercy. Later, by His grace, I recognize that without receiving the blessings of this peerless saint and without serving him, nothing good could happen to me. When I accepted that and acted accordingly, and then received the causeless, unlimited grace of my Sri Gurudeva and refused at his lotus feet, I deemed my life fulfilled. I had considered my Gurudeva to be unequaled in Vairagya, but somehow short of learning. But he reduced to powder my audacity born of book learning. With the mallet of his mercy, he revealed that whatever I had adjudged to be the highest ideal was in fact most low and despicable. When by His grace that instruction first entered my ears, my diminutive brain lacked the capacity to accommodate such transcendental knowledge. But to all fools like me, He gave the chance to hear such lofty topics. I have understood that if the people of this world do not receive the same jolt that I received from my Gurudeva, then their consciousness will not awaken. Therefore, I am telling everyone, I am more foolish than anyone else on earth. Please, all of you, do not be foolish like me. Do not live your life within the limitation of calculating consciousness. Discuss Vaikuntha Katha and you will become a great person. I am telling you what I have realized to be supremely beneficial. Although Srila Babaji Maharaj, Gaurakrishna Babaji Maharaj, forbade anybody to touch his lotus feet, so that day he kept his lotus feet on the head of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and told him, go and take bath in Ganga and come, I will initiate you. And then, so he went and then he got initiated, like that. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, as you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was such a great scholar. He was an encyclopedia. You know, walking, they would call him walking encyclopedia. He would quote, that was the only treasure that he had, you know, when he opened the Gaudi Mutt, you know, big room he had, and then full of books collected, all, you know, Vedic literatures. Like that, and then he would quote from there. You know, they were all perfect brahmacharis. Then whatever he learnt at the age of 5 or 6, he would speak again at the age of 60 also. Like that they were. Then he had one disciple, Ananta Vasudev. He was also a very great scholarly person. And then that was a system, whenever a spiritual master speaks, then he has an assistant, you know, to quote verses. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would quote the first word of a verse, you know, Ananta Vasudev Prabhu, he would quote the remaining words. Like that. He was so proficient. Like that. So later on, in the last days, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was asked, after you leave, whom should we contact, consult for philosophical doubts, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta indicated Ananta Vasudev Prabhu, you should like that. Then when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he would speak in such high grammatical language and with very difficult words, you know, that when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada said, you print Brahma Samhita, you know, and the language was so difficult, you know, British language, you know, classical language, Shakespearean language. Then Prabhupada disciple said, Prabhupada, it is so difficult to understand. Can we, edit? Can we write in a simple language? Prabhupada said, no, keep it like that. Everybody will know how great my spiritual master is. Like that. That's why they printed like that. So very difficult to understand. You know, so even when he would speak also, very, very difficult to understand what he would speak. Like that. And but Ananta Vasudev Prabhu, he was so proficient, and then, Pakka Brahmachari and all that. Then he would hear Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and he would repeat again, you know, what he heard. And then he would explain to everybody, all the other disciples, what Guru Maharaj spoke. Like that. You know. So, my Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he told that my Guru Maharaj told me 3 things that, you know, to follow in my life. Never to accept any disciples. You know, never associate with anybody else. And never go to Calcutta, the place of Kali. You know, Srila Gaurakrishna Babaji Maharaj used to call Calcutta as Kalistan, you know, place of Kali. So, don't go. Then, but we see he has done all the 3 things. Right? So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explained that actually, I never accepted any disciple because all of you are my spiritual masters. Because of seeing unlimited desire to serve Lord Hari, I get inspired from all of you. So I never accepted any disciple. And then I never associate with anybody because, you know, only Harikatha I give to everybody. So, you know, so associating with somebody means, you know, sitting with them and, you know, discussing about mundane things and taking food, you know, like that. So I never did that. And then I never went to Calcutta because I went to only Gaudi Mutt in Calcutta. So Gaudi Mutt is not in Calcutta. It is in the spiritual world. Yeah, it's in the spiritual world. So I would go to only Gaudi Mutt. I would live in Gaudi Mutt. Even if I go somewhere out, I will come back to Gaudi Mutt. So I am actually not. I never went to Calcutta like that. So another time, when Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was traveling with one disciple, one devotee, and they were crossing the Ganges somewhere in the boat, you know, machine boat. Then he asked Shri Bhaktisiddhanta that, you know, you are a great scholar, that, you know, you could defeat so many people like that, and then you are writing so many treatises and all that, but your spiritual master, he is illiterate, you know, he is illiterate, and then how, you know, you took initiation from him. Then Shri Bhaktisiddhanta replied, see, you see this engine. Engine is working and all that. But inside the engine, there is a battery which is unseen, without making any noise. Without that battery, you know, the boat will, this engine will not work and the boat will not move forward. You know, that even though it is unseen. So it is so important. Like that, my spiritual master, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, is like that battery of this Hare Krishna movement. You know, because of his chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, continuously, you know, this movement will go on. Because that is the life, you know, he is giving like that. So, that was the thing. So, later on, Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, you know, he was in Puri after that. Then Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur also accompanied Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then he was there. And then, initially, he was very friendly with Charan Das Babaji Maharaj, you know, because he wanted to, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur wanted to do bhajan near the Gaudi Haridas Thakur Samadhi. So that is a, so Giridhari Asan, it is there. He was actually doing puja there, Giridhari, like that. And then he became friendly with Charan Das Babaji Maharaj. Then later on, he became, he concocted this, you know, Bhajan Itai Gaur Radhesham Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Right? If you go to Haridas Thakur Samadhi Mandir, they would be chanting this only. So, Shri Bhaktisiddhanta became very angry and then he started opposing him. You know, started opposing him. Then there was a big fight, arguments and all. But to the dismay of Shri Bhaktisiddhanta, the local people of Puri, they supported Charan Das Babaji. And then Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastised Shri Bhaktisiddhanta that why are you wasting your time? You know, you go to Mayapur and establish, you know, Gaurdham, like that. Then he was actually very friendly with the Govardhan Mutt established by Sri Shankaracharya. And then that that Swami in that Pitadipati, he was very nice to Shri Bhaktisiddhanta. Then he regarded him very highly. Then he allowed him to read all the books of Mayavad philosophy in his library. And then he was so intimately friendly with that sannyasi that everybody was thinking that Shri Bhaktisiddhanta would join him and he will become a Mayavadi sannyasi. Like that. But actually, Shri Bhaktisiddhanta was learning all the, you know, because in the future to defeat, because at that time, you know, Mayavad philosophy is very prominent. You know, to defeat his Mayavad philosophy, he read all the books thoroughly in that mutt. And then he defeated, you know, he would defeat Mayavad philosophy like anything. Like that. So later on, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he went to Vrajapattan in Mayapur. Then he started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So 1 billion names. He took a vow to chant 1 billion names. Every day, 3 lakh names. And then every month, 10 million. Right? 10 million names every month. Like that, it took him 7 years. Then he made Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's DT there. He started chanting. Like I told before that he was, he would eat very frugally. And then he would eat only like a dog, like that. Like an animal. So, he performed severe austerities and penances. So, like from this we can understand, preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world is not very easy. One must perform in the beginning, one must perform great austerities. Like they say, Srila Prabhupada also, a lifetime in preparation. So, so, if you see the lives of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, they performed, before they started their preaching work, they performed great austerities and penance, of course, in Bhakti Marg only. That means chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Like, there is one book by Moola Prakriti Maharaji. She was also saying that when she was talking to all the Brajavasis in Vrindavan, one thing they would say, your Swamiji, your Guru Maharaj is different. One thing, they would always say, he is always chanting Hare Krishna. He is always chanting Hare Krishna. Like Badri Narayanwar was narrating that Ganga Prasad, that time, he was friendly with Ganga Prasad. That shop is there, Vrindavan, very famous. He would supply all the dhotis and all that. He told to Badri Narayan Maharaj that, your Swamiji is very special, because all these sadhus, they would hang around all the time in Lohi Bazaar begging for this food and that food and all that. But your Guru Maharaj, he would come only once in 2 days and he will pick up some vegetables and all that, some grain and all. Then he would go back only very once or twice in a week he would come. So Ganga Prasad was saying, I got a doubt that, this Swami, he must be why he won't come like this all the other sadhus? He must be keeping some woman in his ashram. So one day, he tailed him. He went behind him, then to see what he is doing, this Swamiji. Like that. He would go and then he would wait outside the Damodar Mat, Damodar temple, outside the room of Srila Prabhupada. Then he would look through. Then he would see, now the woman will come. But he would hear only tuk 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 typing. Then after some time, after 3-4 hours, I think enough type. I think now he would, now woman will come. Then again he would, spy through. Then again he would hear tuk 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 tuk. Tuck, 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 typing. Then throughout the day, Srila Prabhupada, he would eat very frugally and, very little food. And then throughout the day, he would type Srimad Bhagavatam. Typing. Like that. So these are the life stories of great personalities. Then whole day, he would chant. Not only that, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him the duty to establish, Yogpeet also. So for that also, he has to take care. Then he was writing books also. He was writing also. Then he was reading all that, beside that, he was chanting every day. 3 lakh names. Like that. So that was the, foundation for his success in his preaching all over the world. So later on, all of there is a Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, they opposed these Smartha Brahmanas and Jataka Goswamis. Jataka Goswamis. So they would say that only persons born in Brahmin family, they can initiate. and only persons born in Brahmin family, they can only worship Saligram Shila. You know? So, and only persons born in Brahmin family, they can only take sannyas and all that. All others are not qualified. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he opposed this very vehemently. Then when he was very young, there was a sabha organized by Vipin Bihari Goswami, you know, to discuss all these three things. And they informed Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. At that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very sick. And he was very sick, and then he was unable to move also. Then he told, then he was crying, that there is no one, some Vaishnava, who can defeat all these false arguments and establish, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated, he said that, Bipin Goswami, he said, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's giving Govardhan Shila to worship to Raghunath Das Goswami is invalid because he is a Sudra, Vaishya, this Raghunath Das Goswami, and it is not valid. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sri Ramananda Rai, who was born in Sudra family, as his spiritual sort of a guru, and he was hearing Krishna Katha from Sri Ramananda Rai and all that. So they were saying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not God. He, as per his conclusion, Mahaprabhu himself is saying that, you know, he is devotee, great devotee. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot give, then he accepted Rupa and Sanatana, who were actually rejected as Brahmanas, and established them, you know, as great Acharyas. And he accepted Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, as Namacharya. All this they were saying, and then saying that, you know, this Gaudi Vaishnava, this Mahaprabhu, this is not valid. You know, they are accepting Mahaprabhu as God is not valid. All that stuff, it is going on. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very worried, you know, that they are rejecting like this. Then he told his son, you go and establish our, Gaudiya Siddhanta very properly. Then that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was a very young boy, like that. And then, but that time, Radharaman Temple Goswamis, Madhusudana Goswami and Vishwambarananda Goswami, they are very friendly to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and Bhakti. They themselves are from Kayastha family, but they became like Brahmanas, and they were initiating and all that. But they were opposing these Jata Goswamis and Smartha Brahmanas at that time. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he went there, and then in the beginning, he started, praising the Brahmanas. Then he established how, he established that a Vaishnava is superior to Brahmana. And anybody, wherever he was born, they can actually become a Brahmana, more than a Brahmana, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, like that. So he established then all these Jata Goswamis and all. Then there were arguments, counter-arguments and all that. So by the third day, everybody became defeated. Everybody became defeated. And then there was a whole huge crowd was there. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he would not allow anybody to touch his feet. But they all, pounced on him and crushed him. And they had to give police protection. Then the guards, they have taken him outside, aside, and then they bathed his feet, and they collected that water in a bucket, and they added that bucket of water to, a large amount of water, and then they distributed that water, the dust of lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and to all the people, they became very delirious, drinking the Charanamrita of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Then with that, later on, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, we went to Navadvip, one devotee was saying, Sachidananda, he was Dham Sevak there. He was saying, when we went to, Vishnupriya Gauranga Mahaprabhu DT, in Navadvip, those Babaji's, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sasa Thakur, he was actually touring the Navadvip Mandal, during Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, when they stayed there, they hired some gundas and all, and they attacked the party of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and they wanted to kill Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And then one of the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was wearing white, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was wearing saffron. At that time, they put white cloth to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and they made him escape. And then that devotee took the saffron cloth of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Like that, it was so, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was so much against, and then there was so much violence, and many devotees, they got injured and all that. And then they ran for the, of course, I don't think anybody died. So that time, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, he was against this independence movement. He said, he chastised, Subhash Chandra Bose. Subhash Chandra Bose, one day he came. Then he said, you are keeping so many young boys with you. Give me, they will fight for Swaraja. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him. Then he explained to him, you are not this body, you are the soul. Now you are jumping up and down, saying that, we will fight British. But because your consciousness is so much absorbed in British, tomorrow, next life, you may take birth as a Britisher and come and torment Indians. like that. So later on, he told, okay, I will give these young boys, Then he used to tell, Vaishnava, the boys, they eat very less, they are very thin. What fight they will do and all that. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, see, they are all Vaishnavas. Even if a drop of blood of them falls on the earth, your whole movement will be destroyed. Can you guarantee? Like that. So Subhash Chandra Bose offered him obeisances and said, if I had met you before, it's too late now. If I had met you before, definitely I would have joined your movement. Like that. He said to one of his disciples that, I never had so much respect for sadhus and all that. But your spiritual master, genuine sadhu, Subhash Chandra Bose, praised like that. So he was actually when Pancham George V, came, his birth anniversary was there. He printed a book glorifying him and publishing many photographs and all that. So when he came to India, he sent two educated disciples of English speaking disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Who are they? Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu. Sanyal, Professor Sanyal and Prabhupada. Both of them went to receive, George V, like that. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was very friendly, and then Viceroy also, promised him a big land. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he told Subhash Chandra Bose, that why are you worried? These are all temporary things. You may work very hard. Only when Krishna desires, only when Krishna wants, India will get independence. Britishers, he said, don't worry. Britishers are not going to stay forever. They will also go. Then he said, only when Krishna wants, when Krishna desires, we will get independence. Not by any of your efforts. Like that. Once, Brahmananda Prabhu, No, Mukunda Maharaj, for first time when he met Prabhupada privately, he said, they were planning to come to India actually. He was always wanting to come to India. They had tickets also. He said, Gandhi, I read, Experiments with the Truth. Mahatma Gandhi, great man. Prabhupada said, Mahatma Gandhi, he was a rascal. Then Mukunda Maharaj could not believe his ears. He said, what? Yes, he was a rascal, They just, Britishers, popped him up. Like that. Oh, Nehru, Discovery of India, I have read. Oh, he is another bigger rascal. Like that, Srila Prabhupada was, Then Prabhupada said, India got independence because of Subhash Chandra Bose. you know, because of Subhash Chandra Bose. Then, like that. So, Mukund Mara, he had a, you know, shock of his life because everybody admires Mahatma Gandhi and all. Like that. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also opposed Mahatma Gandhi and all. So, many of the people, they would oppose, they criticize Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, saying that, you know, he is supporting. So, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta says, it doesn't matter. You know, it's not that, you know, if Indians become, he said that Britishers' rule was very stable, and then we so much humiliation and persecution was happening during Muslim rule. So, we got saved from that. You know, we got saved from that, he told. He said, then they would, so when they attacked, whenever this party was attacked, you know, then the Britishers, they immediately sent police force and they gave police protection for the Navadvip Mandala Parikrama. Like that. And then they gave a land in Chennai, in Madras. And then that Viceroy also came for the opening of the Chennai temple. Like that. So his views are very revolutionary. Then he said, it doesn't matter who rules us. You know, this Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these things. You know, only scarcity in this world is you know, Krishna consciousness. Like that. Because they collected huge money for conducting this theistic exhibition in Calcutta. And it is very famous. Then this Congress people, they attacked this, they threatened, unless you give half of the money that you have collected for Congress and independence movement, we will attack you. You know, like that. And then immediately, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he made some facility and then he protected those. Then immediately, they complained to the police and the police came and went to each and every house nearby and warned them not to disturb Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's exhibitions. Like that. Then he said, what is this? You know, every only thing that is scarce is Krishna consciousness. You know, we should spread Krishna consciousness. Like that. There are so many things to tell. Then there is one devotee, Jagabandhu Das. He single-handedly built Bagh Bazar temple. With all marble and all. Even till now, nobody knows how much he spent. And then he would, he was a very prominent businessman at that time. JB Inks he used to make. And then he was cultivated by Kunjabihari Prabhu. Like that. So he would not come off properly all this, you know, this thing. He would dismantle and make it again. And then when disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would tell him, why are you spending so much money? Said, no. Then he would cry, why are you stopping me serving Radha Krishna? Like that. You know? Then that Bagh Bazar temple was built by this gentleman, this great devotee. Of course, he is Jagabandhu Rasajna Das, Ranjan Das. He gave him initiation also, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So one day before opening of Bagh Bazar temple, you know, he was a diabetic and then his foot was cut off and all. So he was very sick actually all the time. Yeah. And then he became very sick and then he was on the deathbed. And then he was very close to Kunjabihari Prabhu. I think he was coming to the temple for almost 1 year. Nobody knew who this person was because he went to so many other temples and then they were always after money. He wanted to test the devotees of Gaudiya Math. How were they? So Kunjabihari Prabhu never asked him any money and all. He simply gave him, you know, teaching and all that. So then he was very impressed. Then he simply chanted the name of Kunjabihari, Kunjabihari. You know? And then Srila Bhakti, Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, Prabhupada. Then both of them appeared near the deathbed of Jagabandhu Prabhu. And then they all, both of them chanted the holy name. And then looking at the face of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he left the body. And then before opening of the temple, they brought the body to, Bagh Bazar temple. And then they bathed him and they circumambulated and all that stuff like that. So, but later on, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur saw that infighting has started. So Srila Prabhupada also commented that my Guru Maharaj left 10 years earlier because he was disgusted with the behavior of his disciples. Then he told that I did so much preaching, but I only see only Kanishta devotees, Kanishta Adhikaris. You know, not even one qualified devotee. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, none of my God brothers are qualified to become spiritual master because they are all Kanishta Adhikaris. Of course, it did not prevent them from going back to Godhead, but they were not, Prabhupada said, they were not qualified to become spiritual master. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also said the same thing. I don't see anybody. They were all, you know, fighting. You know, who will occupy this room? Who will occupy that room? Like that. They would fight like that. So then by 1936 onwards, he started saying that, you know, once there was a function in Ramananda Gaudi Mutt in Kovur, and then there was a big feast. I don't think now there will be any more feast like this. You know, enjoy this feast. Like that. Then 1937, then he settled down, and then he was in Calcutta only at that time. So one devotee got a dream. I forgot the name of the devotee. He got a dream, you know, that to arrange book a train from chartered train from Calcutta to Krishnanagar or whatever, Krishnanagar, and then arrange a whole lot of salt, like that. So when great spiritual masters, when they were put into samadhi, the salt was put. The one reason is that bad smell won't come, and then the body becomes diluted within 2 months, very quickly, by putting the salt in that. Like that. So, like that. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was speaking. Then he told, one day before, he told Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, you know, to sing Rupa Manjari Pada. So Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj was singing. Then Kunji Bihari Prabhu said, you know, you stop singing. There is one devotee from Benares. He sings very melodiously. You know, he said, no, you sing. But Shri Bhakti said, no, he doesn't, no problem. You know, he is singing with great feeling, let him sing. So he would sing, he would make the devotees sing, go Rupa Manjari Pada, and then all these Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans. Because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he told, five paisa, you can get Krishna Prema. Five paisa. What? You get these two books, Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana. You read these books all the time, then you will get Krishna Prema. He said like that. Yeah. See, they were singing bhajans from there, and then one devotee was chanting Hare Krishna. Then one devotee, he was there, and then he was at the time he was very sick. He was having high fever and all like that. So Kunji Bihari Prabhu brought many doctors and all, but nothing. He was not taking any medicine and all that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, then he called his disciple. Then he said, Prabhupada, do you want anything? Then he said, Oho Krishna. Then he chanted. Then he left his body. Like that. So once Srila Prabhupada, he tapped, Abhiram Prabhu was serving Srila Prabhupada, you know, in his last days. Then he was passing stool and urine and all, he was cleaning. So Abhiram Prabhu said one very interesting thing, that I was serving Srila Prabhupada, you know, without hating that, you know, task of, you know, cleaning the stool and all that. Without, you know, with a feeling of disgust on my face. So one day he was cleaning. Then Prabhupada asked Abhiram Prabhu, this is all disgusting, I think, for you. So Abhiram Prabhu said, no, Prabhupada. Because Abhiram Prabhu said, he considered the body of Prabhupada as my body. Just like we don't hate our stool. like that. He was not hating it at all. Then these are all. Then Abhiram Prabhu said, if you don't like, then Prabhupada said, no Prabhupada, I like it. But this is all disgusting. Then he told Prabhupada, if I am not serving you, I will serve Maya. I will serve Maya. Then Srila Prabhupada said, okay. Because he felt that if he sees that I don't like this act, then being a gentleman, Prabhupada would leave the body, you know, before, without, because he didn't want to trouble the devotees, like that. Then Srila Prabhupada one day, he tapped, that he said that, whatever happens, you know, don't take me to the hospital and put the tubes and all that stuff, you know, in my nose and all that. No, no, like that. Whatever happens. Because my passing should be glorious. Because if an acharya passes, you know, it should be glorious. And you know, otherwise, because there is one Swami, Prabhupada always would criticize. When he was leaving the body, there were so many tubes and in a hospital, you know, unconscious. Like that. So Prabhupada told, whatever happens, you know, no tubes and no hospitalization. You know, I want to leave the body, you know, gloriously. Like that. So like that, you know, Srila Prabhupada also left the body chanting Hare Krishna. You know, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also, he left the body. Oh ho, Krishna. Then he left the body. Then, because that, when that devotee got the dream and then he booked everything and then everybody was saying, well, what are you doing? But, there, you know, as per the his dream, he booked a train to take the body to Mayapur. So that, and then there was whole 200 devotees that traveled in the train, and then all that salt was arranged and all that, and then the samadhi was built like that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta later on, so much infighting happened, and then everything got, you know, bifurcated, and then whole thing became, you know, then when in last days, you know, on the Bhakti Rakshak, one day before he left the body, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, he went and asked Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, after you, who will be the acharya? You know, after you, who will be the acharya? Then he said, there will be a self-effulgent acharya. You know, acharya cannot be appointed. You know, cannot be appointed. So he refused to appoint. Then he said, you form a GBC, you know, for 10 or 12 people and manage the society. But they didn't follow. Like that. So, Ananta Vasudeva Prabhu, he was such a great scholar. He challenged Maya, that I am challenging to Maya, that, you know, if you have any power, you know, really, separate me from the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Like that he challenged, that he was so devoted and all that. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told that, you know, after I leave, Kunji Bihari Prabhu will manage the society, and you know, Ananta Vasudeva Prabhu, he go to him for philosophical guidance. But such a great devotee, what happened, we don't know. He became very, so much bad, that he was doubting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta whether he was a Nitya Siddha or not. He wrote an article, he doubting whether Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was a Nitya Siddha or not, like that. So then Kunji Bihari Prabhu also, then later on he became Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, who was very envious of our Srila Prabhupada. He had, you know, so many books he attacked Srila Prabhupada and all. But Prabhupada talked about him only, that you know, he died in the hospital with tubes all you know, in all his nose and all that. But Srila Prabhupada said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very fond of Kunj Bihari Prabhu. Very fond. That when Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, then there are two groups. Then Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, Ananta Vasudeva and all, they formed a group and they sent Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj to Bhaktisiddhanta to complain about, because they got a proof of accounts bungling and all, thief and all. Then they went, Bhakti Rakshak, one day Bhaktisiddhanta was walking by, and then Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj went, and then Prabhupada, like this happening. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta became like a Narasingadev, and he shouted at him, "Did you come here to do sadhana bhakti or to make the balance sheet of credit and debit balance? You know, let others you do what, let them do whatever they want. You just concentrate on your sadhana." Then some other time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, they complained about Kunja Bihari Prabhu. Then he said that, okay, you know, if I have to manage this society, I need a manager and I have to pay him. So whatever money he is taking, you know, taking, that is his salary. Like that, he commented like that. Then later on, in 1922 or somewhere, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, actually, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started the Gaudi Mutt, you know, they were paying 50 rupees rent in Ulti Danga Mutt. Out of the 25 rupees, Kunji Bihari Prabhu, he was a postman, post officer, postman. He was working in post office. He was paying from his house, you know, rent, salary, 25 rupees. And 25 rupees, other devotees, they used to struggle to collect that 25 rupees per month. That time 50 rupees rent. And then he took so many personal loans to run the Gaudi Mart. He left Bhaktisiddhanta and he went to Basra in Iraq to work there and send money. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to cry. Then he prayed to Radha Giridhari Gandharvika that, you know, please bring him back and all that. He used to cry that Kunji Bihari Prabhu went away. After 3 years, he earned enough money and paid off the loans. And he came back. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta personally went to receive him at the seaport. He was very fond of him. Later on, he wrote a letter saying that you are a Vimala Manjari in Radhakrishna pastimes. Like that. But Prabhupada and they would not get along. You know, Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj used to criticize Srila Prabhupada very much. And Srila Prabhupada also called him snake in the grass. Like that. So Bhakti Vikas Maharaj cautions that we should not criticize all these great personalities because they must be in Golok Vrindavan now. So it's all very bewildering why it happened and why devotees fight. All these things, you know, like that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, done a great job. Everybody should read this book, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, again and again. So many wonderful pastimes and such a great Vaishnava, such a great Mahabhagavat, you know. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sastakur Tirabhav Mahatiti Ki Gaur Premanande.